Going on, guys. Eric Black here. That is Parker Miner over there. I can't figure out the direction because I feel like I changed my mic angle.
Yep.
It used to be over here, so I knew I could point to the opposite. Listen, thank you for joining the show this week, guys. We do appreciate that. This is Rockcast. If you have no idea what's happening right now, welcome to the show. We have no idea either. So it'll be an adventure for all of us.
Yes.
But we like to talk to rock stars on this show, and that's kind of our thing. Our tagline happens to be conversations with rock stars. I don't know if you're not following along, follow along. Just go ahead and do it right now. Go to subscribe to us on YouTube. You can actually see us. Or if you like the podcast scenario, that's fine too. You can go
everywhere.
Wherever you listen to podcasts is all good. And then you can come hang out with us on our beach front property. We have a yacht.
Nice.
It's not ours. It's not our yacht.
No. We just show up.
Yeah, we just borrowed it. Oh, goodness. Parker, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
You know, I'm good. I was going to say dandy, and then I was like, that's not a good thing to say.
It's not a good word. I don't like that word. That.
No. You can't go that route.
Nobody says that anymore.
No one says that. It's not the 20s, so we're going to go ahead and not. We'll just edit that.
We didn't go to the 50s. We went to the 20s. Man.
Whatever. No. It's okay. So here's the thing, kids. We've got another important VIP guest on the show this week. It'd be weird if we didn't. No one wants to be around us. No one wants to care about us. So listen, here's the guest. Is everybody sitting down? Are we all sitting down now, guys? Are you listening, watching? You're all sitting down. Okay. So here's the guest on the show this week, and I'm gonna say this, and it's gonna be awesome, and everybody's gonna be like, oh, that could just be me. I don't know. Anyway, AJ Channer, what's going on, buddy? This is the fire from the gods, man. You are on the show this week. We appreciate you hanging out. How does you?
Well, man, thank you. Thank you. I'm watching everything in the Northeast get blown away with snow. And I'm here in Texas like, fuck yeah. That's why I left New York.
Right? Yeah, man. Yeah. You're in the right spot.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We're kind of in between there in Nashville to where
we don't really
get any snow, but it still gets cold enough to where you're like, it's cold. Why is there not any snow here? And then in the summer, you're like, hey, it's really hot. Why isn't it raining? Because it feels like I'm already wet. So it is what it is.
I like Nashville a lot.
What city are you in?
I'm in Austin. We're all in Austin. Fire from the Gods is from Austin.
Awesome.
City limits.
Yeah. ACL, man.
You've
gnarly mug, man.
Have you ever played in Nashville yet?
Yeah. We've done we played a show at the End.
Can you redo that show for us, please?
That was fucking killer, man, because that place is tiny, man. I also played there years ago when I was in this old hardcore band called Six Seed from Virginia Beach. Yeah. And we played there I'm thinking 2005. And it was crazy hardcore shit. And then I think we were just in Nashville with Five Finger.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Damn. Holy shit, dude. I could not imagine the freaking subs in the End venue. Just hearing Fire from the Gods on those subs, dude. That would be so epic.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that club was crazy, man. I like those tiny little spots, man. That's where we come from. So we don't forget about that.
Yeah, that's the best ones.
Are they hard to play in? I mean, because you guys play in a lot bigger venues too, but are the smaller ones harder to play in? Are they just a regular show?
We thrive in those because, like, you know, I guess it was so funny. We did a tour with Seven Dust, right? And we were playing 2,000 cap venues, big, lovely venues, House of Blues style. And then we were doing in-between shows on the off days with Memphis Mayfire, and we were back to, like, smaller clubs. And then we did a show where it was just us, and we played this like tiny little room in Iowa somewhere. And we were like, holy shit, we haven't done this before. And the dudes are like, yo, you should see this venue, bro. And it was kind of like a one-off for a friend, but it was sick, man. So we thrive in those little situations because it just kind of takes us back to like our hardcore punk rock roots, you know, like where we started. Man, so we dig that kind of shit, man.
Iowa's actually where I'm from. It's where I was born and raised, and Midwestern guy. So, yeah, there's a lot of now. The reason why I left Iowa, I know that everyone's asking right now. I'm getting so many people in my ear saying, "Why did you leave Iowa?" So I'm just gonna tell you. I'm just gonna tell you. Have you been to Iowa? You know why?
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Slipknot, though.
That's true.
The one, you can't keep talking about the one thing that I was known for is Slipknot. Slipknot. The one thing.
Yeah, come yeah.
On. Come on. All right. Well, you
now,
know.
Now he lives down the street. Now he lives down the street from Maddie with Memphis Mayfire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maddie, all those dudes are out there in Nashville,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Except for Jake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like we're seeing a lot of you know, a lot of these people that are moving out here, and it's a really cool place to be. It's very, very unique. When I first moved here, you know, I was in a rock band, still am, but moved out here for music, as the majority of everybody else does. The difference between me and them is I had no expectations. I was like, let's do it, screw it. But when we first moved out here, I was hesitant because country music, capital of the world, right? So you're like,
that's a tough town, man.
How does rock fit into this? But I'm telling you this, man. When my first live show after moving here was a reggae show, and it was random. I didn't choose it. It was just at the place where I was at, and I was like, "What?" So that kind of got the ball rolling. And I was like, "You know what? All right, we're good. We can hang out here. We can do our thing here. It's not a big deal." So
yes, we hang out at the Crying Wolf a lot. You guys had that's our little like spot out there.
Yeah,
yeah. Dude, that's awesome, man. That is awesome. Wow. Well, okay, so here's the thing. There are actually two things. One, it is an honor and a privilege for us to be able to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Secondly, I don't know, AJ, if you are aware of this, but you, my friend, are a lyrical assassin. Did you know this?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, that was the best shit I've ever written. But it's like ABC shit nowadays to me, because I'm like counting syllables, you know? So I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, just fill in the blanks.
Right, yeah, man. Right. Yeah, that's kind of like this show. We've got a script that we're reading actually right now.
Teleprompter's, it's actually broke.
It's backwards. We had to switch it. Yeah, now you're reading in, it looks like Russian, actually. Anyway.
Oh, you got that vaccine, I see.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is going to be an excellent show. We're excited. Yeah. All right, AJ, let's talk about Fire from the Gods for a minute. Now I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself for a reason, but we're going to talk about previous bands too. You mentioned one earlier. We're going to get into that as well. So be prepared.
Cool.
You came onto the scene for Fire from the Gods, what, 2014?
Yeah, 2014 is when I joined. Okay.
So what was the process of you getting into that?
So, you know, to even tie in the old band situation, I was in a band called Ashes Within from Brooklyn, and we were beginning to start making some sort of waves. We had won a Battle of the Bands, and we got a contract from a label. And I think my attitude towards it was always, let's go, 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 go. And those guys were a little bit hesitant, which is natural. And so right around the same time, Fire from the Gods was involved in the same kind of program, Battle of the Bands, that was put on by Sumerian Records. And they had a guy in the band that had been in for about 2 years. And basically everything they did was via the internet. They hadn't toured. And all the other guys in the band really wanted to tour and were like, let's pursue this. And the current vocalist was like, anti that, because for whatever reason, I don't know. So I had run into some roadblocks with the old band around 2014, early 2014. And it had got brought up to me saying, dude, why don't you help out this band Fire from the Gods, but not help them out from the standpoint of join as a vocalist. It was more or less the singer, you know, kind of needs some help writing and he's not very good on stage. And I was always known for this wild man stage presence, you know, and everyone kind of like liked it, and everyone in like the scene and, you know, smaller indie labels were talking about my band because of the energy. And so the guy that was managing Fire from the Gods and kind of quasi managing the band Ashes Within said, dude, these dudes in Texas, I think you'd be perfect for them. And the Ashes Within thing, we were doing like metalcore, deathcore type shit. Almost like Meshuggah type gent almost.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'd done so much of that in my life. I was kind of ready for something else where I could express myself, you know, utilize clean singing. I've always loved the underground and metalcore and heavy shit, but I always wanted to, you know, be Howie and be LeJean. You know, I wanted to front big rock band. So I saw the potential. And so I went down in August of 2014, met the guys over the weekend. They had a show planned that weekend. And they were like, dude, just come into the studio, you know, meet everybody, shake the hands. And they were jamming. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to sing these songs. So I just started singing all the songs. They were like, whoa, did you know? They didn't know I knew the songs. And they were like, bro, you want to play the show? And I was like, yeah, I want to play the fucking show. Let's do it. And then they were, so from then on, it was like, yeah, we're, you know, you're in. And yeah. Then it was like, you know, one thing led to another. We decided to record new music. We showed that to Rise and bang, got signed immediately. And here we are today.
Dude, nice. that is ridiculous. Okay, so man, there's a lot of questions right now, but
yeah,
how much of a whirlwind was that coming, you know, coming from where you first started talking, like with the old bands and stuff like that,
right?
Fire, like how quick of a turnaround was that?
It happened really fast, man. And you know, the good thing about it, let me not say the good thing, but the crazy thing about it was that I had been waiting for this for so long. I had wanted to do this for so long. I was always like, you know, dude, you said you moved to Nashville. So you know that feeling, dude, I'm going to be in a band. I'm going to make this happen. And yeah. Then for to kind of finally click, because the attitude of everyone in Fire from the Gods at that point, like three guys had left and three guys entered the fold. And the other two guys that had been in the band for nearly 5-6 years, who were kind of burnt out, were yeah. like, dude, this is it. If we don't fucking do it now, we're not doing it. And we were just like, you know, you have to have a degree of stupidity to be in this business. As you got to be a bit of a knucklehead, you know what I'm saying? So we're just like, dude, we're all approaching our 30s. And we're like, let's get in a van. And
right.
You know, and then we did it, and things started to happen. But you know, I guess it was a lot of it was the tenacity. A lot of it was the just the sheer will to just yeah. say, yo, we're gonna really put our heads down and do it. And I think that's the first time that all of us had been in a situation with four other guys in the band that had the same vision, and that's why I think it worked.
Yeah. Me and Eric, we've been in the same situation. We're like, man, if it didn't work this time, it's it. We're done.
Dude, yeah, my last band, I was like, if it doesn't work, I'm done. You know, I've been doing this forever. I've been trying it off and on. But it worked, yeah. man. And we're extremely blessed to be where we are. And extremely yeah. lucky. Don't get it twisted. There's so many good bands out there that have been grinding.
You guys are amazing, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's all just happened so naturally and organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, well,
that leads me to the next question then. So organically with the pandemic going on with you guys, what have you guys been doing? What obstacles have you been challenged with during this time?
You know, the most, as you saw like this weekend, if you know, we had the live stream and I was super skeptical about, because people had wanted to do stuff. Like there was a lot of bands had brought up ideas like, let's do this. Why don't we do, you know, Texas is opening up. Why don't we do a small Texas run? Why don't we go to states where they're open? And we're just like, dude, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make economical sense. And it just doesn't make sense for the social climate. And not to be like, you know, we've succumbed to the mob. We're just it just doesn't work for us, you know? And one of the guys in the band, his wife is a medical professional. So she has to be in, you know, so he has to quarantine because of her, and she's in a hospital and clinic every day. So that just wasn't going to work. So we were like, how do we adapt? And, you know, got our heads together with management. We're really lucky to have the team that we have with Zoe and from Five Finger and the people helping this band. They were just like, okay, let's do this live stream thing, which we did one over the summer, but we raised money for a charitable organization, which went over really well, but it wasn't like, oh, this is cool and we can see this being viable. But we kind of put our heads together and came up with a good idea and got a strong lineup with El Nino, you know, like all the pieces came together really easily. So we were able to kind of focus a lot of our energy for the last few months in getting that together. So it was very time consuming. So it kind of just sped by. So, you know, the whole thing about the pandemic and not being able to tour and all that, it took second seat to us actually doing something. So it felt good to be able to get something done, you know?
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Cause I know there's a lot of people that were, for lack of a better phrase, frozen in fear, right?
Right.
Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go, didn't know how to do things. And I get it. I totally understand it. This is a global pandemic situation, right? I get it. You know, the initial thoughts, I get that. But man, to hear somebody say like, no, we're not going to take, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to figure this out and we're going to move forward. To us, man, to Parker and I both, I mean, that's exactly what we had to do. So to hear somebody else say that, to hear somebody else vocalize that, man, is just
There's a lot of that energy going around, man. There's a lot of that energy. Right. And I think that's the energy we need, man. People sitting there like just being afraid and you know, being paralyzed in fear. It's like, it's not going to get anything going. You know, that's not going to make anything move. You can sit there and be, you just make it happen, you know, something.
I had that conversation today.
So, okay. So let me, this is something that we've kind of been, it's kind of an ongoing question with, you know, some of the people that we ask or that we talk to on the show, but it's very interesting to kind of see the answer. And it's about live streaming. So you see, you're coming from, now live streaming isn't as popular. It wasn't as popular until now. Like it did a thing, it happened, but it wasn't as popular. So you're coming from, let's say a live show at a venue or festival, whatever. You have all that energy from the crowd, right? That's what we live off of. We love that energy. Now we can do a show. We can do all this stuff. We can go to live stream and we can do a show. But correct me if I'm wrong, AJ, it's a lot harder to do a live stream without anybody watching than it is to do a regular show. Am I wrong?
No, man, you're not. It wasn't that comfortable or easy to do it by any means. The good thing about it is that we had practiced for hours for a week, rehearsed for a week, because we had never played some of those songs live that were on American Sun. And we'd never played a set that long as a band. We've always been, you know, support band. So we've played like 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes max, but we never played for like an hour. So we had to really like transition and get all that going. And like there were times even during the live stream where I'm like kind of rolling my eyes because I'm like, I'm forgetting what, you know, I'm supposed to say something here. And I know I'm supposed to like react, but I'm looking at a camera and my kid playing in the corner, you know? And we record everything through in-ear, so there's no real sound coming back at me. You know, it's going off in my ears, but outside it's just everyone's just like, you can hear a car pass by.
Yeah.
You know, because we did it outside. So you can hear someone from their window like, woo! You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it wasn't there, but we pushed through and we made it happen. But I will be defiant in saying like that's not my new normal. Like I have to be back in venues. Yeah. People have to come out and come to shows and do it the way we were doing it because that's the only way this thing thrives. And that's the only way, especially heavy music works. You can be a rapper and sit behind a screen all day and sell your shit, but that's not how we do things.
No, and that's the thing. The same thing that Parker and I were talking about too. We do a lot of talking, not just on the show, but in real life, we do a lot of talking, but that's what we were talking about too, is like, we are so tired. There came a time, we were probably like four months into this pandemic situation, and we're like, okay, here's the thing. Is that for me? Do I need to answer that? Is that for me? I'm not here. Tell my parole officer I'm not here.
It was actually me. I texted him. I was like, man, say this about Eric next.
we can't keep going this route. I love the live stream idea. I get it. And I think what that will end up being, I don't think that's ever going to go away, but I think it's going to be a supplement to the live show. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not going to be, it should never be the actual show. Now, obviously right now it has to be. It's just, that's just the way it is right now. It'll
just be another selling point.
Whatever. But when we get back to normal, which if Parker and I and AJ have anything to do that, will be sooner than later. It's going to have to be a supplement. We can't just have that. There's that interaction. Again, it comes back to the human interaction.
Yes, for human interaction.
And that's one of the things that early on in this whole, thing that we were just like, okay, this is not a long-term.
No, we can't live in boxes, you know? It was cool because like there were promoters in South Africa selling the show. There were promoters in Mexico selling the show there, you know, so that was great. And like a lot of people who love the band in Australia, and we haven't been to Australia yet, but they're like, you know, it's a good showpiece and it's a good way to say,
I was gonna say, really good marketing. It's good marketing, right?
You can use it exactly. Yeah. But that's not the way we need to experience live shows.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, and I've seen some of these festivals, especially like Coachella here in the Nashville area, wherever that's at. Not Nashville, in the LA area.
LA, yeah.
the desert.
Phil, I don't know. It's drugs.
He's been drinking again.
A lot of people from Nashville go to Coachella, though.
Yeah, they very much do.
Don't get it twisted.
But yeah. Oh my gosh, it has been a long day. So
we have Bonnaroo down here, Eric.
Absolutely nothing like Coachella. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that now, but this is probably a better conversation than what I was going to say. So we're just going to move on from here.
I remember what you were going to say. You were going to say that the guy that was, when y'all were performing this past weekend, the guy hanging from the window clapping had a hell of a show because he saw every bit of that live.
Yeah. Oh, they were screaming, "Thank you for the concert."
Man.
Downtown Austin is littered with like homeless people, you know? And so like the corner where we were on the roof of the Mohawk, there is a like a shelter. So they were all just out there clapping and shit, you know. So that was cool.
Well, it was kind of a live show. I mean, it was kind of a kind of had an audience there. That's not bad though. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I dig that. Man, let's talk about the signing with 11/7 Music. Now that's a Zoltan's label, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Five Fingers on that label.
Okay.
But they're probably, you know, they're definitely Motley Crue and.
Hmm. Yeah, Papa they've got Roach, pretty,
the biggest names on that label.
Pretty decent, decent lineup. Yeah. Now, your thoughts. Now, you have this opportunity in front of you saying, "Hey, we'd like to talk about this." Now, your first initial response was like, "Really?" Or was it like, "Yeah, we should talk?"
Yeah, man. That was a very unique situation. And a lot of people don't ask. So definitely kudos to you for checking that out, man.
Thank you.
So we were like in this holding pattern between narrative and narrative retold. Right after that, we had got off the road with Seven Dust. And that was kind of, we were approaching this crossroad with Rise Records. Do we record a new record? We were going to need a new manager because our contract and our time with the manager that got us to that level had expired. No fault. It was mutual. It was like both parties had kind of outgrown each other.
Sure.
And lo and behold, man, our lawyer, who is really awesome, who you never hear people say our lawyer was awesome, but you know, unless you're trying to beat parole, you know what I'm saying? But, our lawyer, man, he also represented Five Finger, and he was just like, "Yo, let me show this to Zoe." And I was like, "The Five Finger guy?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Okay, whatever, man." They was like, "Aren't they super one way? And what are they gonna think?" But anyway, Zoe hears the shit and then immediately calls me and is like, "Bro, I need to work with your band." I was like, "What?" Are you kidding me? But the crazy thing was that he got it. And a lot of people did not get what Fire from the Gods were about. And, you know, everyone was like, you know, you're a political band. And we had missed out on so many opportunities because people thought we were like the next Rage Against the Machine. And it was completely out of the realm of where we wanted to be. And he got it. And he was like, "Dude, it's more about humanity and social causes rather than trying to have a political soapbox." And I was like, "You're right, man. That's exactly what it's about. You know, it's about real stories, about real life, not so much about the I'm, you know, one way and you're the other way.
Right.
Let's fight about it." Yeah. And dude, he was just like, "Man, okay, I want to manage the band." And we were like, "Great." And then it went from he wants to manage the band because he had Bad Wolves and Bad Wolves were blowing up. And I called Doc because, you know, Doc is like the kind of big mentor homie for a lot of us guys in the biz. And I called Doc and I was like, "Dude, what's the deal with Zoe and all this, man?" He was like, "Bro, shut up and listen to everything they say."
He's
like, "These dudes, they know what they're talking about." Yep. He's like, "Just shut up, listen." He's like, "Don't, you know," there was never a like, "Hey, this is what we're going to do to your band." It was more or less like, "We believe in what you're doing and we want to help you. And this is how we can help you." And then it went from managing to them saying like, "Oh, let's sign this band." And then it was like, well, we're playing in the big leagues now, boys, because they were, you know, 11/7 had Papa Roach, who was, was a chart topper. They had Five Finger, they had Motley Crue, all these other like cool, like like fringe bands, but they were all doing numbers from Ashes to New. You know, it was like a band that a lot of people don't talk about, but these guys had two like top 10 singles.
Huge.
So, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, dude, this is it. This is exactly what we've been looking for. Sat down with the label, and then Zoe came in with his ideas, and he's done a very good job of protecting us from the oversight. You know, he kind of drew a line in the sand for us and said, this is what this band's about, and we're not going to corrupt this band. We're not going to mess with the message. We're not going to mess with the delivery. We're going to do everything we can to help support this band. So, well, you know, it was a what the fuck moment, at the end of it all, it was like, wow. And everything that's happened subsequent to it has been fantastic.
Man, you guys deserve it too. Y'all, I mean, they saw the value for sure.
Yeah,
we couldn't be happier.
Well, and I was going to say too, instead of let's label this, no pun intended. Let's say that this is more of rock stars helping rock stars than it is with signing with a label. Is that wrong?
Exactly.
To say?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's how it should be. I think, you know, wisdom helping the younger, you know, the younger people.
Dude, those Five Finger Dudes, that's kind of like their vibe, man. Cause they did that with From Ashes. They took those guys out on their first like big arena tours. They did it with Bad Wolves, as you've seen. He's done it with a few other bands. Like, you know, Zoe's like, he's got that ear, man. He's got a good ear, and he wants to help bands, and he wants, you know, rock music to thrive. That's really what it is.
I knew it when Jacoby Shaddix is on the label, man. That's how I know.
Yeah, and that, exactly. He's another dude. Dude came straight up to me at a festival and was like, bro, I love and respect the vibe. Anything we can do to help, we are here with blah, 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 blah. So it wasn't even like a competition thing. It wasn't like, oh, who do you think you are sort of deal.
Yeah.
It was just all about inclusive and respect.
Yeah.
Oh. Speaking of Shaddix, you can't get him on here, can you? Because we got to compare hairdos here. And I tried to do this. It was a hair thing going.
Who
it was? Fieldy. Fieldy yeah. face tied. I was like, oh, gosh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, the bandana?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we also talked to Theory. We also talked to we got a hold of those guys. Who was it?
We had Joey.
Joey, we had Joey on the show.
That new track is pretty sick. Strange Times, I think it's called the Strange Times.
I'm liking it.
Holy cow, man. Yeah. I think the pandemic has been good. Now, although I know there's a lot of music that's coming out that was, you know, that's just been taking some time, but I think, and I don't know, man, I'm not the one writing the music. I'm not the one sitting there. Although I play a good spoons if you ever need it.
But he does. Yeah.
Just saying, just throwing it out there. And on the side, I do cowbell. So if you need any extra.
Any more?
That's right.
He does 808 too. He can hit that little drum head over there and just be like, boom. Love it.
It's nice. It's nice.
Hey, I must say though, truth for the week.
That's
my jam, man. That's my jam.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep, for sure.
Absolutely love it. And of course, American Sun right now, dude. When I remember when I had gotten a new car, I got an Audi or something, and I got in the car and I was like, man, sweet. I got some free XM satellite again. So I got Octane for at least 90 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this I remember the first time I heard Right Now, and it was on Octane, man. And Octane never fails. Jose and all them, man, they're great, and they're such supporters of you guys, which I always was like, man, this is what radio is missing. Like, I just love how much support.
Tell me about it.
Like you guys, like the real rock artists, that are still writing their own shit, still doing their stuff, man, and y'all get the support from that, and that's why we're here. That's what we want to be. We want to be that
same.
That's why Eric and I do this. So
we just want to support the scene. Yeah. It's been kind of a give back situation to where. Yeah. This has been such an influence. And again, we do music, but this is something that is a little extra for us, because it's just we have fun, man. We have fun.
We all need it, man. There's not a lot of coverage apart from the various zines. You know, like, not to talk shit about anybody, but some of them are out there, and all they want to do is just talk about drama and talk about shit, right?
Yeah. I told you before we got on the show, I was like, we don't care about any of that. We're not looking for headlines, man. AJ, we are looking for a conversation. And so far,
dude, and
stop right now. And it would be amazing. But please don't. Mm-hmm. Please don't stop. Let's never.
Let's do it. No, we need the support, man. We need people out there that are going to all those people that are in the press pit at Louder Than Life and the press pit, you know, and all these various. It's like you see the same faces. But the fact is, the conversation changes. Everyone grows with each other, and a rising tide raises all ships. But when we're sitting there tearing each other apart, we don't survive.
No, and that's one of the things too. You know, Parker and I have been in radio. We've done that whole thing, and it's essentially they look for, you know, one thing. Let's talk about your album. Let's talk about your single. Let's talk about, you know, what your website, whatever. What do you have to sell? What do you have to And I'm not dogging all radio stations. All radio stations are not like that.
Right.
But a lot of them are. A lot of them don't really care about the actual interview. And so we got kind of stuck where we couldn't really be ourselves. You know, we couldn't really do that. And we didn't like that. That wasn't something that we were. So we got out. And it's something that we've done more. We've done more with this show on our own budget than we did ever.
In
radio.
Sick, dude. Sick.
And dude, it has been we get people like you on the show, and we get to have real conversations, just normal conversations. Again, man, no drama, no headlines, none of that crap. It's just we want to hear your stories. We want to get to know you because you are out there doing what we only wish we could do, right?
Right.
So I feel you.
It's awesome, man. We appreciate you coming on the show and just being here and hanging out with us. But you kind of said it a little bit. Parker, I was going to have you ask this, but I got another one I want you to ask. So
okay,
hold the phone. AJ, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, you went on tour with Seven Dust. You talked about Rage Against the Machine, and these are all kind of, you can kind of hear their influence in
Fire. Very much so. Yeah, for sure.
But I kind of see this in a couple different forms. You are not these people. You are not Rage Against the Machine. You are not POD. You are not Slipknot. You are not Seven Dust. You are Fire from the Gods. Yes, you may have some elements of these bands. There's not a band out there that doesn't have some element of another band.
Exactly.
They're called influences. But I cannot make this clear enough for everybody that's listening or watching the show. They are not these bands. Those bands exist over there.
We planned that out. That was like one of the only like real deliberate things we ever really did, because most of everything is about a vibe with us and how we're feeling. But you know, having grown up in the era of Deftones and the Slipknots of the world and the bands that kind of like paved their own way, I think it was really around the late 2000s, early 2010, 2011, there was a kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, bands were just starting to sound exactly the same. Yeah. Every band within our scene was just like, you couldn't tell the difference between one deathcore band from a metalcore band to who was doing what. And that was one thing that we said, we're never going to do. We're not just going to replicate. We're not going to say, hey, here's our Slipknot sounding song. Here's our Rage song. Here's our Seven Dust song, because we could do that. No, we wanted it to be fully organic and just really the vibe. How does it feel? And I know
you've done it.
Yeah,
you've
man.
You branded it.
But dude, check this out. I didn't like Excuse Me when it came out. Or even when we were recording, I was like, no, man. I was like, I'm not trying to rap. I don't want to. And then boom, it became one of the biggest songs.
Yeah.
You know, and it took less effort to write that song, you know, because it was straight off the head and heart.
Yeah, no, and Eric's right, man. You aren't those bands, but I know what you're saying. What you've done is you have branded yourself with that same top tier of those bands.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the goal.
You have the sound. You have such a good, like American Sun, love it. That right there. And of course, that's out now, right? So you know, that is a huge success. And of course, that is the band's second full album, right?
That's the second full length.
That's what I was thinking.
Narrative Retold was a re-release with three extra songs.
Gotcha.
Which, don't get into that yet. That's a question for future AJ.
Oh man.
Okay. Well, whatever. Yeah. So, American Sun, and again, man, this has been on repeat. Even before we knew you were coming on the show.
Oh yeah,
man. But even after, we were like, I had to like say, are you sure? Because you know who we are, right? And they're like, yeah, no, it's fine, it's cool. We can have him on the show. I was like, okay.
I was banging that song like on my Bang & Olufsen speaker at work, man. I was like, let's turn up the bass. Here we go.
Yeah. That's a heavy one. It's heavy.
Yeah.
So good. Let's see. Oh, you kind of said something about you were talking about doing like a small tour in around Texas, like a local tour. But yeah. I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense because I've been to Texas. I see Texas on a map. That is no small tour, my friend. That is, that is a 6-month tour right there.
Dude, bro, the first time when I came down here and moved down to Texas and we did our first like run, we did a show in Austin. Then we went to Killeen, which is about an hour away. Then mm-hmm. we drove all the way to El Paso. I went to sleep, woke up. And we were still in Texas. I was like, the fuck is this? I had toured through Texas years ago, but never like, and it wasn't to a scale where we played multiple dates in Texas. It was like just one date and then we were out. But man, they've embraced Fire from the Gods and embraced me, you know, and what I have to say. And, you know, you've obviously run into the old ways of like, oh shit, man, you know, this is the South and this is how we do things. But, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of past that. And the fact is they've just been super, like, just very accommodating, especially Austin, man. But Austin's, you know, this little fake ass liberal city, you know, you know what I'm saying? it's still Texas, but
it is. Yeah.
You know, so they definitely show a little bit of love, you know.
Absolutely.
Man, that
totally
is
awesome. Get it. Yes.
Well, and I've been to Texas a few times, and every time I've been there, I got lost in like three chicks' hair one time. It took me 2 weeks to get out of that. But other than that, man, it was a great experience for me. I had a great time.
Everything's bigger in Texas, even the hair.
It is. I was lost in this chick's hair for 2 weeks. I couldn't figure out how to get out. GPS was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do, man. I have no idea.
Are you sure it wasn't the beard?
Man, you know what? At this point, it may have been. It may have been the beard. I have no idea.
No, driving across Texas is like starting in Knoxville in Tennessee or Johnson City and driving all the way to Memphis. It takes like forever.
Yo, Johnson City, dude, Capone's.
Yeah.
Bro.
That's a good spot.
I have a fucking story for you, man. Like,
we talk about these places, we're going to have to get in a van and go. That's all, dude, I'm saying.
Yeah, Capone's, man. Is that place still open? They still around?
I believe. Well,
now?
I don't know. Right? Now.
Yeah, but I think it still
that would
was.
Suck,
yeah.
man.
Yeah,
that's
I think
that's
still
a
was.
Venue, dude. I mean, God, dude, that's a venue. That's like one of those, man.
You would think Johnson City, where the hell is that? And they have like surprises.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Dude, it's amazing. We need to do a tour, just us, just not even doing the show. We're just gonna go on tour and
visit
all these places.
Hey, you guys should you guys should link up and do the festival run, man.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We're working on it. Yeah,
live cast right on stage. That'd be sick.
Here's the thing. Do you know any sugar mamas or sugar daddies? We're in the market.
Well, Texas, you can definitely find a few.
Well, we're on our way. I'm going to order my plane ticket right now. Oh, wait, we can't fly. We'll just drive down there. It's fine.
Yeah,
there you go. Oh,
wow.
Hey, have you ever, this is totally off topic. This is a 90s band. Our Lady Peace. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
So the last band I saw in Johnson City was that.
Wow. And where'd you see them at?
It wasn't that same venue. It was some cowboy. It was random. I don't know why they were there. We told them to come to Nashville, and for some reason they didn't. But maybe they just didn't want to go all the way across the state. But they, man, that was a hell of a show. That was a good show.
Yeah, for sure. All right, dude, man, that place was wild, dude. I saw a fight on the street that day. It was like Saturday night, so it was wild, dude. There were like three shows going on. Every Time I Die was in town. So there was like a bunch of hardcore kids. It was wild,
man.
That was wild last night,
dude. That is awesome. Yeah, you know what? We need to get live shows back because this is crap.
Yeah,
this is straight up crap.
Yeah, dude.
This needs to happen.
Yeah, I bet it was all those. I bet it was all those. Yeah, I bet it was all those Bristol, Tennessee rednecks up there from the Speedway starting all those fights.
Oh my God. Was wild that night, man.
All right. So here's a big thing that we like to talk on the show, and we don't always bring it up. It just comes up. And I read something about, yeah, I know, twice. I was there. It was Tuesday night. I saw something about this as I was researching my good friend AJ Channer. And here's the thing. This is a mutual love. Okay. This is a mutual love. It's actually not a girl in this particular scenario. It's not a dude either, but whatever. It's fine.
It's 2021. It's fine.
Let's talk about Rock on the Range. Can we just talk about Rock on the Range for a second? Just say the words Rock on the Range with me. Rock.
Yeah, man. Range. Well, I mean, it's not even Rock on the Range anymore, is it? It's Sonic Temple?
Yeah, it's Sonic Temple now, which isn't going to be the same. We'll see how it works out. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the classic Rock on the Range.
Mm. Oh, dude.
Love it.
Yeah. Wait.
Did you see us?
Well,
that's what I was going to say. Man, were you guys there? When were we there, Parker?
It was the last year for Rock on the Range.
So it's 2017 then.
Yeah, 2017.
Was that Metallica and Korn?
Yep, you guys were there, right?
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah
when it rained, it was the rain out.
Are you talking about the storms that did nothing and it stalled the show for like 5 hours?
Dude.
So, and we're grateful. We had two interviews from that entire event, just two.
But they were good.
Because of those freaking storms that didn't actually happen. We had 10 of them lined up, and we got two. Now, out of those two interviews, those were fantastic interviews.
Right.
So come on, guys. Come on. Anyway.
We were lucky we got to play, man. We were the first band on the stage, and people were, like, getting rabid. And they were like, let them play. And we were like, dude, they're going to get canceled. They're going to bump us, and we're not going to get to play. But we got to play, and it was sick.
Yeah.
So take away the storm situation, right? Take away that. How were you nervous being the first band
to play? Yeah, for sure. Especially that one. That was one of the shows where I was like, oh, man. Because people knew who you were still. It was still very early.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest show we had ever played. And we had already been to Mexico and played. I think we had already been to Mexico for Knotfest and played for like 60,000 people. But it was still kind of like weird because this is Rock on the Range and Metallica's headlining.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like to have your name, like Drew, our guitar player, is a massive Metallica fan, guitar player, you know, big Papa Het fan. And his whole thing was like, yo, my band name's on the same t-shirt as Metallica. Yes. So he had to get like four of them.
And did you guys get to meet him?
You know, sorry?
Did you guys get to meet Metallica?
No, man. And a good friend of mine is friends with Lars, and he kept trying to hook it up. And his Lars's assistant was emailing me all day, but because of the service, I kept missing the emails.
Yeah.
So I was like hanging out backstage, and I got all antsy, and I was like, dude, I just want to go drink. And I just went off to the bar and just hung out with Jose Mangin and shit. So I was like, dude, I'm not for this motherfucker anymore. Yeah, I'm out. No.
That's fair.
You get me. That's
fair. Yep. I think and we as media, when we go there, it's hit or miss. Now, Rock on the Range was, we love, as media people, not
love
even
it.
An artist,
for
but
sure.
As media people, dude, they treat their media people like royalty. I can't even imagine how they treat their artists, because that's an amazing situation.
Yeah, that's Danny Wimmer and Gary Spivak, man. They're cool dudes, man. They're legends.
Dude,
and as you said, support. They supported Fire from the Gods and still do, like, big style. Dude.
Yeah,
that is amazing. Yeah, and you know, we're nobody in the media scene, but man, when we went there, we got to go do things that normal people don't get to do. We got to do things some of the media people didn't get to do, things like that. And we're nobody, but they're so cool. They're just we're like, yeah, come on, let's go do this. And we're like, are we allowed to do that? And they're like,
there are a lot of events and like after parties and stuff like that. And you know, we're still schlepping around in a van and shit. We're like, what are we doing here? You know, but people were like super accommodating. And that was kind of like our first little foray into what the life is like. And it was cool, man. Have your own green room and, you know, catering and all that.
Yeah.
But
we still act like
you can't take us anywhere.
Yeah. The best tent is the tent behind the media tent. Which is the catering tent.
Catering, exactly. Yes.
We found out, AJ, that we were not supposed to be in that tent. We did not
in the tent. Dude, we were still stealing food. We were stealing food like we were robbing Walmarts, like we were when we were on shitty tours. We were still stealing food on the Five Finger Tour, like, you know, we got to take this back to the bus. You know, just boarding food.
We don't know what our next meal is. We'll just take it all. We were taking tables, and they're like, sir, you can't take that.
Boarding food.
Eric was trying to take one of the tablecloths. I was like, what are you doing, man? He's like, I lost my pants. I need something to wrap around me. I don't know.
Where my pants are. They said, I need pants. And I was like, this is the closest thing. I'll call it a kilt. It's all
Where's
good.
Your nice. Laminate, sir? Where's your laminate?
Where's your, this isn't the right laminate. And like, well,
oh, dude. Yeah, don't even start laminate. On that, man.
I think I used my laminate to go use the bathroom, where the bathroom was a real good bathroom, which was backstage.
Parker, you went Parker, with tell him your story. Tell him the story of the bathroom. Tell him so, the bathroom. This is Rock on the Range. Tell him the story.
Yeah, it was nighttime. I think it was nighttime. And we went backstage to use that bathroom because we're smart. So we find access to it. We're going to go. I'm not going to use some porta potty or something. So we went back there.
No one stopped.
And yeah, nobody's stopping us. We just kind of walk in and we just go use the urinal like any other man does. And I'm standing there and this guy's standing next to me. And all of a sudden he just looks at me and screams like as loud as possible. Like in the girlish voice, like, ah! And we're just like, what are you doing, dude? And we didn't know who it was. So Eric comes in and Eric starts using the urinal and Eric just screams back at him. He's like, what, you want some of this?
Yeah.
I didn't know what we were doing. I thought that's what we were supposed to do backstage. I had no idea. So I was just like, he's like,
yeah, it gets rowdy, man, especially the little tents that everyone sets up after. Yeah. Oh, I missed that, man. You guys are killing me, dude.
Yeah, no, it sucks for everybody. We're all
here. It really does.
We're all
man.
Here. We're this here right
therapy.
Now.
Yeah, this is right therapy.
It really does, man.
This is what's going on. Holy cow, man! This is a good one. I like this show. We probably won't be editing any of this out.
Really? No, we won't be.
I mean, maybe us. We'll probably edit us. We'll just have AJ on the show. That's fine. Works. He's doing his thing. Okay, so what you mentioned this again earlier. You're talking about all the things that I have on my list too early. Stop it. We're good. The re-release of The Narrative Retold, not the re-release, but I guess technically it was a re-release.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Narrative Retold. You had two new songs that were released on that, and they were by a friend of a niece's friend that has a dad that has a friend of a friend that's a niece of a cousin
of ours,
Jonathan Davis.
Yes, sir.
Now he produced a couple of these shows. We've had Ray Lazier on the show. We've had Fieldy on the show. We recently had Head on the show. All of that good stuff. But dude, having just one. Now you had two. Having one song.
Right.
Produced by Jonathan Davis would make me have to change my diaper, dude. How amazing is this, first of all?
Dude, that was a great week. We spent about 5 days with him and his kids. We went to the studio that Korn uses out in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
This their own like personal studio. I think JD owns the building because someone in his family had owned it. And I believe the last 4 or 5 Korn records have all been done there. And so all their gear was there. Yeah, dude. And a lot of like all their gear was there, their pedals and shit and all their stuff that they used to tour with in the States. And the dudes were just like touring around with like Heads pedals and you know, Monkeys pedals and just really like geeking out on all this shit. And I spent a bunch of time in the booth with him because, you know, he was really hands-on with me from a vocal standpoint.
Yep.
There was an engineer there, this kid Bud. I forget Bud's real name, but he had just come off. He had driven up from L.A. because he was just finishing up Incubus's, like, record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he basically... just basically did all the Korn records, like the last like 4 or 5 Korn records, and it was just him and JD and no like executive producer or any other big name, because the kid is like awesome. You know, he's not a kid, mm-hmm. he's a grown man, but and awesome. He had left us to go do Rise Against. So we got extremely lucky. And that was another situation where someone had passed Excuse Me off, and JD heard it and was like, holy shit, I want to work with this band. And we got, you know, so our manager was like, yo, he calls me, he goes, dude, JD from Korn wants to work with you. I was like, what? Come again? He was like, yeah, dude. And within like 2 days, they were like, okay, can you get into a van and come to fucking Bakersfield? We were like, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So we were lucky enough because we went in there with like 3 songs, and we had written two already, so we didn't have to like write in the studio. We did write vocals, but we didn't have to write music. So we were prepared and we were able to track, record, and get everything done in like 4 to 5 days. And he was good.
Holy crap.
Both songs done in 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, it was crazy. Holy we worked cow. Super fast and super hard, and he was there all day with us. He would stay up, and he would stay up to like 2-3 in the morning just talking to us. He wouldn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't do anything. He would just sit there and just talk to us about the business and talk about stories and tell us crazy ass stories about Phil Anselmo, crazy ass stories about everybody, dude. And he was just super like just very welcoming and warming. Yeah. And it was incredible, man. And then it culminated in the Super Bowl, because we ended up watching the Super Bowl with him, and then we left the next day because we had to start a tour in like 2 days. So it was good, man. And he looked, dude, he was super about it, man. Just really into it. And, you know, we had written this kind of like heavy corn sounding song, and we tried to like coax him into being on the song. And he's like, dude, he's like, I'm on so many songs and right now that my label's like killing. They're trying to sue me to stop me from being on people's music. You know, so we thought we were going to kind of like backdoor him into being on a Fire song.
Yeah.
But just his presence alone, you know, was just like motivated me. And I went from, I changed like within that week. You know, I adapted. And he gave me some of his tapes that he uses and his warm up routines. And we went through all of them. And he sat there with me. And it was kind of like a clinic, dude. And he just took he took his time and was like, this is how you're going to do this. And then he's warming up the mic and shit. And everyone in the other room were like, dude, that's the corn box. We like the corn vocals, bro. You know, it was sick, dude. It was dope, man.
These are the stories we're talking about, man, because you don't hear a lot about, you know, in the media, we'll call media. You really don't hear a lot about rock stars helping rock stars.
Yeah.
And this is being a mentor, being legitimately a mentor, man. And this is what we're all about. This is the good news. This is the stuff that is just, I feel like it's really uplifting, because I see these people in a different, they're real. They're real freaking people, right? They're not just
rock stars. Oh, for sure. For sure.
They're real people. And that's one of the things.
You can tell me, bro, we went into that tour. We left Monday, and then we had a tour that started like 3 days later. We left that place. Our dicks had grown like probably 4 or 5 inches, bro. We felt unstoppable. We were like, yo, we got to go out there and do this. You know what I mean?
Now they didn't decrease yet, have they? It's still the same.
No. That billboard chart's getting a little bit. We're doing all right.
If Eric would have been the one to make that comment, I would have been like, so what, you're at 2 inches now?
I'm at a whole inch and a half. We got it all up there now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Holy cow, dude. This is awesome. Do you have time for a shortish game?
Yeah, for sure, man.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Now, you're going to have to make a choice. I've got a decision for you to make. Do you want to do a game of would you rather? Would you rather do this? Would you rather do that? Or do you want to do a Mad Lib?
Would you rather? You know, that's the one.
Yeah,
right?
That's
good choice.
I'm talking
about. I haven't played that in a minute. I haven't done that in a long
staple.
Time.
That is a staple on this show.
That's right.
We just can't quit it. You know what I mean? We just can't do it. All right. Here's the thing. This is, I've got three questions for you. And I don't want you to just answer them. I want you to contemplate your actual answer. I want you to think about this stuff, because you're going to unpack it and you're going to be like, this is my answer. Here's why.
I wish my guitar player Drew was doing this. This is his favorite.
You know, I think that's another show. I think we need to come on another show.
He'd love this.
Do your thing. Okay. So the first question, are you ready? The first question?
Yeah.
Here we go. Would you rather swim 1,000 feet through poop or dead bodies?
Dead bodies.
Ooh. Okay. Well, but poop. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I don't know. When they say when you die, though, you poop yourself, so you might get both.
Yeah. I mean, whether you like it or not, you're coming out with an infection of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, you know what? That's fair. I haven't had that answer yet, and that's true. You just might.
He just made Drew proud. There we go.
That's right.
You're catching something.
Two.
This is for you, Drew. Would you rather, let's see, would you rather be stuck in a chairlift the entire day, the whole day, for 24 hours, or be stuck in an elevator the entire night?
Oh, that's brutal, man.
I haven't heard this one. This is new on me.
Fuck. I'd have to do the chairlift because I could probably use my phone.
Well, that's okay. Well, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, in a lift, you can't use your phone. You're fucked.
Yeah.
It's like that movie Devil by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
People stuck in the lift.
That movie.
I had to sit through that movie for 2 hours. I can imagine what that would really be like in real life. Oh,
2 hours was enough.
All right. So you that's true. You can be stuck in a chairlift and still be able to at least phone a friend.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Last question. Would you rather have telekinesis, which for those of you paying attention is the ability to move things with your mind?
Let's go, Professor X.
See, there it is.
Yeah.
Or telepathy, which for those of you not paying attention, the ability to read minds.
Right.
So move things with your mind or read things with your mind.
I'd go with the telekinesis, man. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't like where the Statue of Liberty is. Boop. There you
where
go.
Would you put it? Where else are you going to put it?
Nice.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Put it in DC or something. I don't know. Just
yeah,
move it for
right?
the sake of it. Just start moving shit around.
Right. Just confuse the hell out of everybody.
Ooh, that'd be fun, actually. You know what? This has been probably the best would you rather I've done. This
right?
is not bad. I like this one. Your answers, sir, are acceptable. We've put those into the archive, and they are in there.
Yeah.
We'll put those
on Wikipedia later.
That's right. We'll add that to Wikipedia. Because Wikipedia is all true. It's everything's on.
Oh, yes.
Accurate and true. It's kind of like Blabbermouth. Blabbermouth is all accurate and true.
Exactly. See, there you go. Yeah, you said it for me.
I said it, and I stand by it because this show, actually, our first interview was with our very first in season one interview was with Ray Lazier.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We really wore him down. but he was our first interview. And from that interview, Blabbermouth picked it up and they did their thing. And we're just like, what?
Completely out of context.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's bullshit, man.
I mean, at first we were like, oh, cool. And then we were like, Blabbermouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's in the name.
Yes,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's true. That is very true. Think about that stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So here's the thing. You can find, for all of you guys that are watching the show, you're listening to the show, however you're getting this through your ear holes and your eye holes. Eye holes? Is that a thing? Can we say
it? It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Nose holes, too.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm... This is my first day, so I don't know
what
to do. Okay, good. Firefromthegods.com is where you need to head over to. Hey, by the way, AJ, is that live stream going to be available later, or is it just one and done?
No, yeah, it was available from the 30th of January to the 1st of February, but I think we're going to try and make something of it. You know, people have been like, we want like a DVD of some sort, so you know, I think we're going to try and put something together because it really went off.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I would definitely partake in that. So again, firefromthegods.com. If you want to find them on Instagram, because that's really on this show all we care about at the moment.
Right.
The FBI, Facebook, and Instagram.
That's right.
That's right.
It's all Fire from the Gods, right?
Yeah, everything is at Fire from the Gods.
There it is, right there. Cool. You also here are some things you need to check out, though, guys. You need to check out their videos. One, Victory. This is a 360. Dude.
Yeah.
Bro, holy cow. Okay, so there's that one. You need to check out that one, Victory. These are all going to be linked in the what's the thing called?
The details of the video on YouTube. Sure. That's cool.
Look,
information.
I'm the pretty one. I show up and people tell me what to do. I don't know what else happens after that. This is, I don't know. You also need to check out Break the Cycle. I took a minute and looked at this video. Amazing.
Yeah.
Very nice. And then also one of my favorite videos right now. Go check out those. Favorite video and song. It's amazing.
Solid.
Good. Loved it. Loved it. Firefromthegods.com. Again, if you want to know more about the show, rockcastshow.com has all the information there. And again, we are available everywhere that podcasts are. But if you want to see our beautiful faces, then you need to go to our YouTube page and you can find that at rockcastshow.com or just search Rockcast Show and it'll pop up somewhere in page 57. I don't really know.
Probably it's 69.
69, yeah. 72, 47. I don't know. It's in there somewhere. just go find it. It'll be great. Rockcast Show pretty much all across the board as well, and you can find us there. AJ, thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. This has been one of our best shows. You have made it possible. So
thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. I'm glad we got this done. Oh my God.
Yes,
absolutely. All the best to Fire from the Gods and whatever you guys are going to be doing here.
Thank you, gents. Thank you so much.
It's going to be good. So, all right, guys, we appreciate you. We'll see you again next time. This is Rockcast. I'm Eric Black.
Peace.
And that's Parker Minor. And AJ's, he's over here. I don't know where. Look, he's somewhere.
Here we
he's
go.
He's everywhere.
This is hard to do.
Just figure it out. You'll see it on the screen. All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
All right. Peace out, guys. Thank you.
What's going on, guys? Eric Black here. Parker Minor over there.
Whatever. He's somewhere. It's fine.
It doesn't matter.
Just keep going.
It's all good. Listen, here's the thing. We have been sleeping ridiculously well, and this is not something that we take lightly. This is we love our sleep. Rock stars love their
absolutely
sleep, okay? That's all we're saying. So we came across this brand and we fell in love with it. Actually, after about a 45-minute nap,
right,
we fell in love with it. It was fantastic. What I'm talking about is MyPillow. Yes, MyPillow.com has all of the stuff that you need to fall asleep very well. Now, listen, it's not just about sleep. It's about comfort. It's about comfort.
Absolutely.
They have, absolutely, Parker, they have pillows. They have Giza sheets. Mm. What else do they have? They have towels,
mattress
they
toppers, have mattresses,
yeah, toppers.
You name it,
they pretty much have it. It's not just pillows, kids.
They
it's
even have slippers, Eric.
They have slippers. Rock stars need slippers. I don't know if you've seen this, but Ozzy Osbourne wears slippers.
He does.
I'm just saying that's how that works. Here's the thing. Now, Mike has been so generous lately that he has he's actually taken his pricing down.
Absolutely.
Just a touch. Just a scotch, if you will. Normally, a king-size pillow would be, what, like $70?
Could be. Could be.
Something like that? Yeah. Not today, folks. Not today. $30. $30, and you get to sleep like a freaking king. That's right.
It literally
happens. It's something like what, Parker? What did we say? Like 40?
40 bucks 40 in bucks? Savings. I mean, $69.98 regularly, I believe, is the price. $29.98.
That's right. Now, if you want to go a little bit further and you want to be cool like us, you can go ahead and get that king size pillow. It's just $5 more. It's just
a little bit worth it.
It's worth every single dime, penny, or whatever it is that you are going to use to purchase those things.
Either way, with us, you're getting a $40 savings.
It's nice. It's nice. MyPillow.com. You can go there and use promo code ROCKCAST for up to 66% off of your entire order. Now, there's also a phone number. You can call 800-646-5719. That's 800-646-5719. I don't know any of you that are going to call that number, but if you do, it's fine. It's goes straight to where we need it to go to, I guess. But I would say just Parker. Hold on, Parker's calling.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, Mike answered himself. Look, Mike Lindell. Look, you already know about it. Okay, all right.
He knows about it.
Promo code broadcast. There we go.
Does he really? Oh, that's nice of him. That's very cool. Promo code broadcast up to 66% off MyPillow.com. Go do it right now. It's the best way for you to support the show and support a great American product. Go do it right now. We'll wait. We'll wait right here.
We're not leaving.
You know.
We're still waiting. You're not pushing the numbers.
why you're still here. You should go and just do it. Rockcast promo code, mypillow.com. Look, I need to get the number again. 800-646-5719. Why are you still here?
Rockcast.